Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a child describes in detail their encounter with a ghost that closely resembles a deceased loved one they never met. What is the old wrinkly woman doing in a box? And what does she want? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call in 24/7, share your ghost story with us on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Write it in there. If you have an audio file on your device you want to send to me, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to listen to our EPP bonus episodes that you hear at the end of the week, we give you a preview of them on Thursdays, first 10 minutes or so of each episode, and you can really get a feel for what those are all about. Some of our coolest episodes, just some awesome storytelling in there. You can sign up to get those at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, the link at ghostpodcast.com for that. It's only $5 a month. Get all those, all 200. We're going on 230, I believe, this weekend. All advanced episodes of the program, video content. That's the way this show is supported and kept on the air. So if you like it and you've been listening for a little while and you go, you know what, I think $5 a month is worth keeping this thing on, ghostpodcast.com. Go there, check it out. Keep us on the air. Tony and Sean joining you this fine day. And how are you today?
You know, I'm doing all right. You speak of that $5, Tony, which of course I would use to become an EPP. But also, I don't know when this program's going to air, but that around these parts is 2.5 gallons of gas.
That is these days. I was shocked by that. I was, and this is going on the air in mid-January. I saw the other day it was under, it was like in our area is like a buck. I saw one for like $1.70 something. And I was like, wow, this is, I don't know how long ago it's been since I've seen it at that price. But
and yeah. I think in the mid 30-year-old on Earth, which we both are, mm-hmm. It is a time where our grandparents, you know, when gas hit triple digits, like mm-hmm. $1. And you think to yourself, what? Are you serious? I think now, we're to that time. I don't know how you feel, but where we can say, you know, gas used to be upwards of $3.50, $4 a gallon, and now it's coming down again.
So it'll go
to
back.
See it go from. I was going to say when this show airs. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's been fluctuating between like 98 cents and $4.50 our entire like adult lives. What's the cheapest you ever paid for gas that you can remember?
Oh man, you know, I think when I first got my license, 16.
Yeah.
So this is 1998, and I mean, if I had to guesstimate, like $1.23,
wow. Okay.
Ish, at the Super America right
sure.
down the street from our residence. What about you?
I think the record was 89 cents, and it was
wow.
it was like one day. It was really, really low. It like dipped below a dollar for a little while in high school there. And then it all went back up to like $1.20-ish or so. But yeah, I mean, it was like, oh my God, it was pretty nice. You could fill up that, that Pontiac Sunbird, all like 8 gallons that it got for about $8. And you can go with your girlfriend and park in the Pioneer parking lot in Oshkosh. Of the hotel there, and then have security come out and knock on your windows going, what are you guys doing here this late? And
this is purely hypothetical.
Purely, and it's an abandoned hotel now, I believe. It's like completely just gone, or I don't know what the hell the state of it is, but purely hypothetical.
You speak of Pioneer Park. Did you have the Pioneer CD player with the removable face?
I did have, I had something. Actually, I think I had a Pioneer cassette deck is what I had. And I had,
oh yeah, baby. That's anti-skip.
And then I had the thing that you put into the cassette deck that you can then plug into like your Walkman CD player. And then I would play the stuff on the Walkman on the seat. and I thought it was pretty bitchin' at the time.
Yeah, baby, you want to hear that voice in between those songs? Yeah, that's me.
I made mixtapes. I'm not even kidding.
I was the on-air announcer. I was the DJ.
I didn't do that. I didn't DJ my mixtapes, but I did make them at the radio station in the studio because we had a really good cassette deck to do it with, and I made the mixtapes, but I segged with jingles. So I still would put the station jingles and sweepers in between the songs on my mixtape. And then I would tell my girlfriend at the time, it's like, I made that sweeper. It's like, what the fuck's a sweeper? Like that stuff you hear between the songs.
She's like, why are you opening the door? Why are you, where are you going? Come back. You don't hear any commercials?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's because I put this 76-minute mix together on repeat.
Let's hear some Seal. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. So there you go. That's high school. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I wish I was making this shit up, but I'm not. Let's go to
Jesse McCartney and B.B. Mac. No!
It's got our first story. It says, first off, I'd like to say I've been binge listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and I absolutely enjoy it. The story I want to share with you today is about an experience I had as a kid. I'm 21 years old now, but this experience feels like it occurred just yesterday. To give you a little background on my story, during the early part of my childhood, my family lived in a house that we inherited from my great aunt and uncle after they were both passed away. We kept the majority of the furniture they left in the house as they were beautiful antiques. We moved out of that house early on, probably when I was in third grade, to a newer home across the city. It was beautiful. We brought all of our furniture with us, including the antiques. Fast forward to one night, my other great aunt was staying over in our new house. She lived next door to us at the previous home that we just moved from. The next morning, my aunt woke up and everything seemed fine, until she cut her visit short. We thought maybe she was mad at us and decided to leave early because of that. She refused to come back and visit us, and we didn't know why. A couple of months after that, my friend was staying over at my house. My room was at the front of the house, and my brother's room was across the house and up the stairs. We didn't have enough blankets and pillows in my room, so we decided to head up to my brother's to grab more. As we were walking through the kitchen of our home, my brother was in front, my friend was in the middle, and I was at the back. My mother's door to her room, which was adjacent to the kitchen on the right-hand side, was open, and I could see relatively well from the reflection of the TV screen. I noticed my brother and friend began to walk a little faster. At that exact moment, something to the left of me caught my eye. I turned quickly to see what it was, and I saw a shadow figure of a man standing 2 feet away from me. He was a little bit taller than me, but he was solid black. I noticed he was wearing a long coat, like a trench coat and boots. The bottom of his trench coat was waving as if there were a breeze going through the kitchen. He had no face, only white eyes, and at the time I thought they looked like shining off of glasses. He was wearing a top hat on his head, and it wasn't too long of a top hat. I sat there and observed this figure for a few seconds, and I got freaked out. I ran quickly and caught up with my brother and a friend. A few days after that, I told my mom about what I had seen. She was alarmed and immediately asked me if I was sure of what I saw. I told her it was accurate down to the description. She then told me that what I described was my great Uncle John, who was known for his glossy eyes. He was the one who owned the previous house and antique furniture before we did. My mom told me my other great aunt, who never returned to our house after our visit, had seen the same figure poking his head into my room one night. She saw its face and was the one who recognized it as my great Uncle John. This is why she never came back to stay with us. Later on, I found out my brother, who's a skeptic, had seen a black mass walking up and down the stairs to his room. My mom later told me that she had seen it walking around our antique dining room table as well. But more compelling, my mom later told me that when she was home alone doing laundry, she'd hear machines stop and would find them open mid-cycle. Mind you, these are top-loading machines and not front-loading machines. It's interesting to me because our laundry room was adjacent to the kitchen, but on the left-hand side, I'd seen this figure standing in front of the laundry room door. We believe the spirit to be that of my great Uncle John, who I never had met and passed away before I was born. We believe that something was attached to him with a piece of antique furniture. We've since moved from that house and brought that furniture with us. I haven't seen that apparition since. I was listening to a podcast about a shadow man whom people called the Batman, who fits the description of what I saw. I was curious as to what you guys believe. I have people in my family saying that they believe it was the ghost of my great uncle, but yet What I saw that night is exactly what other people across the country had seen when they describe encounters with the Hat Man. Do shadow people take forms of our relatives, or do relatives become shadow people? Hope to hear the story in the podcast. If not, I'll still continue to binge listen to your show. Wishing you all the best. It's interesting with shadow people because I don't think there's any one clear answer, and I don't put them into a category of their own of being like, all shadow people are relatives or all shadow people are demons. I just think it's how some things are able to show themselves. I think sometimes it can be a relative. I think sometimes it can be something much darker too. As far as the identity of this one, it's interesting that everyone had a feeling of who it was. Essentially, they all said, it's the Uncle John. And there wasn't a lot of question to that. And when you go to a relative that you are familiar with or you're around them in life, everyone kind of has a feeling to them. It's like just an energy about them. And if everyone's going, I think that's them, I would almost go with that in this case. Clearly no physical evidence to support that. But, you know, there's nothing really else going on here that would make me think this is something darker or a demon. It seems like it's just kind of watching and hanging out with the furniture. Your thoughts?
When you were describing the look of this, I couldn't help but think of when you grew up, did you have the neighborhood watch signs in your neighborhood?
Were those the neighborhood watch signs or the ones where it was like a safe house for kids to go into? Because we had those too.
Correct. And the look of this fictitious character, mm-hmm. Had a hat and kind of a raccoon-like bandana across their eyes. Sure. And then a trench coat. And that's who I pictured. But yeah, I don't want to dumb it down or mislead any further deeper meanings. But I think, you know, there's an attachment to in past episodes we've talked about where there was a small girl associated with a certain something in the person's bedroom. And there was people at secondhand stores or garbage men that they wouldn't even pick it up because they knew the story associated with I believe it was a dresser,
yeah,
or something we talked about. But I think this is absolutely where there's an attachment there. And it's the family member coming back that there was the attachment to that. I don't think that there was any deeper meaning or wanting to get the attention or to warn them of an upcoming something tragic happening. I just think it's your standard visit from somebody beyond the grave that has an attachment to something in your home.
It's interesting where when they moved, it all kind of stopped, but they still kept all the furniture. It makes you wonder if the environment that the furniture was in that one house made it easier for it to come out, like it was just higher, more charged or something. I don't know.
There was central air conditioning in the one home, and it was it was not apparent in the newer. So they had no way to get in there.
Do you remember the houses? Did you have that in Milwaukee where, I mean, I know you're talking about with Neighborhood Watch, but did you have like the signs we did in our town? And they were almost like neon in color, and people would put them in their windows. And it was a sign to you as a child if you're out playing in the neighborhood and say someone's stalking you or you're in danger, that if the house has this sign in it, it's a safe house basically to go to and to have them call, you know, your parents or call the police or something. And that was the sign that this is a good place to go. Do you remember that at all?
I know exactly what you're referencing. I don't remember in our immediate neighborhood of having those in the actual houses. What we had is on the utility poles or the light poles on the streets, that it was a neighborhood watch, crime prevention. And we had those signs for pets. There was a fire where basically mm-hmm. it said that, hey, everybody, even if the humans are out, we have pets. Get them. Thanks.
Go risk your life for Smuffles, even though you got the family.
And you know what? if and God is my witness, if you have the opportunity to save, well, okay, it's a 50-50, but I'll go 51 to 49 dog uh-huh. to human.
Sure.
If you can only save one, I'm sorry. I apologize. You have two legs.
It depends on the human.
You have a brain. You know how to get through, even if you're going to burn yourself. Whereas if you're Scruffles, you know what the fuck is going on, and you are going to freeze. So the firefighter, you get the Labradoodle, and Uncle Carl, bust it through the window, man, because you're on your own. I mean, that may sound terrible.
It's good reasoning. It's good reasoning.
It may sound terrible, but come on now, man. And yeah, animals are They can do a hell of a lot of things on their own. But you know what? If there's a burning fire where the couch was that they usually fall asleep, they don't know what the fuck's up.
Yeah.
But this has no point in what we're talking about. So I digress.
My point about the signs was going to be that it seemed that the signs that were like, this is a safe place for children, were on the creepiest fucking houses in the neighborhood. Like, if you were to guess that maybe a child predator lived in the house, that would be the house it would be. And it was just like, oh my God, it's like a borderline haunted house. And
wait a minute, why is there a neon sign in the window and a king size Snickers on the front porch?
Exactly. It's like, what the, and like all the like windows are like, all the shades are drawn. You can't see. There's like aluminum foil on half the windows. You're like, what the, I don't think I'd go. I would take my chances with the guy in the van that's chasing me down the road versus going in that house with the foil on the windows and the sign and the Snickers and the pony that's walking around in back and that really creepy cross-eyed man standing over in the corner of the yard. I wouldn't do it. I would not do it.
Current day, how sad is that? That there would be manipulating of that, where something is a blunt, this is safe. More often than not, you have to think that there would be some type of breaking the rules to have unwarranted attention of the actual opposite of what it's supposed to do.
I don't think that stuff even exists anymore. I think it's too much, you know, too much of a liability and all that. Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number. I'll try and get through reading this one. For this story, I was only about 3 years old at the time and don't remember this event, but it's a story that is still very much told throughout my family. My grandfather's family and my mother's side all lived in Hacienda, which is a large estate in Mexico. The house was built in the 18th century, and through its entire history, had only seen three different owners, as well as many people passing away, both in the house and on the property. Well, my mother grew up in the house, and before moving to the States, also spent a good part of my early childhood there. One day, my mother and I went to visit my grandfather to help with cooking and a bit of tidying up. My grandparents at this point had separated, and my grandfather, being much older, was already having trouble traveling through the house. The rooms, being large and spacious, were big enough to accommodate a bed, kitchen, dining area, and small sitting area. We set up something almost like a studio apartment for him. As I said before, I had been in this house and my grandfather's room hundreds of other times when visiting, but on this day, I didn't even step into the room. I froze at the door and would not budge. Staring at the corner in the room, I began to tell my mother and grandfather that the lady was mad, and she didn't want us there, and she was very upset. My mother and grandfather thought I was talking about the sheets in the bed, since the bed had not yet been made. But I kept pointing at the corner where the sitting room and bedroom transitioned, thinking nothing of it. My grandfather decided to take me to the garden for a walk while my mother tidied up. My mother always says that she had never cleaned up so quickly, remembering my great aunt, my grandfather's sister, had passed away only a week prior. Also, I was a very obnoxious child, according to my family, because for my great aunt's funeral, I had asked everyone in sight what the old wrinkly woman was doing in a box. She apparently was not very happy. I called her old and wrinkly. Another story happened when my family and I moved to the States. I was about 12 years old and was getting ready for school. I was always the last one out of the house in the morning with my younger sister, leaving 30 minutes before I did. So I was home alone at the time. At the time, we lived in a ranch-style house, all the bedrooms connected by a long hallway. My bedroom door was at the other end of the hall, facing directly to the main door. The main entrance door had both a glass door and a heavy wood door. We would often leave the wood door open to let more sunlight into the house. This particular morning, I was about done getting ready and was going to have breakfast before leaving for school. Looking in my vanity mirror, I saw a face peeking in from outside through our door. Thought it might have been a friend from school because it looked like a young man. I turned around to face the door physically and realized that the wood door was shut the whole time. I never knew where the face came from since there was no one home. I left to school without having breakfast and even left my backpack in my room that day. Thank you guys for taking the time to read my stories. I love your show. Thoughts?
That zigged and zagged. I need a little bit of a recap of the end. why did she leave the school supplies?
Why did they leave the school supplies? That I'm not knowing the answer to, but I can give you the recap with the beginning of it. I loved the who is the old wrinkly woman in the box and seeing.
That's kind of where my thought.
Yeah.
What?
It's how are you? A great way to describe your dead aunt. Who's the old wrinkly woman in the box? But he clearly saw her not being very happy that they were in the house, and I guess a fairly sad individual to begin with. That to me was my favorite part of the story was that, and my mind kind of stuck on a child going up to a casket going, the old wrinkly woman in the box, what's up with this shit?
You know? Thank you, because yeah. That's about where the HDAD, ADD, LNOP squirrel kicked
stopped
in,
you.
Because anything after that, I thought to myself, wait a minute, if she ever wants to come back and give you a visit, the fact that you said that, there's going to be coal in your stocking, little one.
And then the other thing that happened there was the looking towards what he thought was an open door, and there was a face of someone standing there. But it turned out there was no open door. There was just someone standing there, almost somewhat radiantly, I would assume, kind of giving the impression that the door was wide open. Creepy settings and creepy stuff. It makes you wonder if it's the same person that's happening or that's haunting in both those stories. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Mickey from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I just found you guys last week, and I'm already binging super hard on your podcast. I hope to become an EVP after the holidays. Obviously, right now, mine's a little tight with Christmas presents, but definitely after the holidays. So I've had a few strange experiences in my life, but this one in particular that I want to tell you guys, I think you find kind of fascinating, you and your listeners. So I just want to preface this by saying the Stanley Hotel is one of my favorite places in the entire world. It's in Estes Park, Colorado. It's where Stephen King got the inspiration for The Shining. I'm a huge Stephen King fan. Also, Tony, watch Stand By Me. Come on, man. but anyway, so I've always been drawn to the Stanley Hotel, and it was almost like kismet, because my favorite band in the entire world, Murder by Death, several years ago, they started doing playing there in the music hall. they would do weekends there. So that was just, I was all over it. So I stayed there on several occasions. Never really experienced anything. I stayed in the main hotel. I stayed in the lodge. And I've also stayed in the newer condos behind both of those buildings. Never experienced anything until I actually stayed in the newer condos. So that's what this story is. The last time that I stayed there, my best friend and I, we used to go to see Murder by Death out there all the time. And this particular weekend we were staying, it was actually the last time that we were staying in the condos. And he and I always switched on and off. In the condos, it was, an open kitchen and living room area. And then there was a bedroom. And then off of the bedroom was the bathroom. And that geography of the condo is going to make sense later, too. So this particular weekend, he got the bedroom, and I was sleeping on the pull-up bed in the living room, and about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up to the bathroom sink just going full blast. And I'm kind of a light sleeper, so obviously it woke me up, even though I was in the living room. But so I just assumed that it was him. obviously, you know. Until it was going for about 10 minutes, and then I couldn't fall back to sleep, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, you know, I should probably check on him. Is he okay? And as I was getting up, the water turned off. And I walk into the bedroom, and he is out cold. He had not moved. So I just go back to the pull-out couch, and I decide I'm not going to say anything to him. Because I still was, you know, like just trying to process that myself. So the next afternoon, he and I are standing outside of the bedroom. He's sitting in the living room. I'm standing at the dining room table. And, you know, we're both just scrolling on our phones, you know, scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, as you do. And it's quiet in the condo. And all of a sudden, we both hear the bathroom door close and latch on its own. And I don't even look up from my phone, because I'm already thinking about what I had experienced the night before. And he just looks at me and he goes, "Did that bathroom door seriously just close on its own?" And I still don't even look up and I say, "Yep." And at that point, I decided to tell him what I had experienced that morning. Needless to say, he was more than okay with switching to the pull-out couch and me taking the bedroom after that. So that was my experience from the Stanley Hotel. I don't know if it was that year or if it was the year before, but a friend of mine who was actually in the band, and I believe he has talked about this in interviews before, he actually was staying in, he was staying on the fourth floor, which is supposedly one of, you know, like the most haunted part of the main hotel. And he was laying in bed, and he just hears this big bang and crash. And he walks into his bathroom, and the top part of his toilet tank just shattered into pieces. So he calls maintenance, and the maintenance guy comes up and doesn't even ask any questions. Just replaces, like they have, you know, like the tops of, you know, the backs of toilets just laying around this place, because apparently that's just a common occurrence. But thanks for listening to my story. I will definitely call again. I love you guys so much. You guys make me laugh. You guys are honestly, like, so sweet, too. That's my story, and thanks for listening to it. And thanks for doing what you do, guys. Bye.
More fun at the Stanley. A place that we love and have very fond memories.
Well, if you didn't catch that other episode, you were married there.
Yeah, but not to my current wife.
No, and when we had the exclusive carried on, I believe it was C-SPAN 2, the webcast, I said three words to describe your thoughts right now, the day of the ceremony, before the ceremony, mm-hmm. Your words were...
Holy fucking shit.
So, obviously, these two seem to probably... I would imagine a holy fucker of shit came out of their mouths or were in their minds when they were on the phone. And all I can say is, here's the deal. Everybody poops. It's a lovely book read by children. Have you read it?
I think I've at some point I might have read it in like high school as adult reading time.
Absolutely. And part of health class. Yes, so here's the deal. Whether you're alive or not, you got to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice of whoever this visitor was, you know, they didn't want to be interrupted, so they locked the door.
That's just weird when you're a ghost and you're still doing that. Does that mean there's like ghost poops in there?
Hey, I'll tell you what, sometimes your insecurities they go to the grave with you.
Are you like eternally regular when you're a ghost too? Or do you like need to take like a probiotic or something on the other side? Or does it all just every day, it's all good, you know.
You got to get your fiber, man. Whether you're you know, old and wrinkly, or dead,
you're just
or not
sitting there sucking down the Activia as a ghost, and you're like, it's like, and every day it was really weird. All the Activia in my fridge was missing, and the toilet kept flushing by itself.
I was listening to a commercial the other day, the testimonial spots that radio stations now, when they can't sell commercials, there'll be companies where they'll give them $7 to air this commercial that says 1-800-555-2492 20 times throughout the 30-second commercial.
Yep.
And the commercial started out, it was a woman saying, "My number ones don't look like number twos. They look like number threes."
God.
So I really wanted to listen to the 26 more seconds left in the commercial.
Oh, God. And it's called direct response advertising for our listeners of what it is. It's where you hear the phone number 42 times in the ad and really bad testimonials. There's one that I'm hearing all the time right now. I watch TV in the background during the day. I'm usually listening to like CNBC or something. And there's this one for this service that gives you money in advance of your payday. It's essentially like a payday loan type scheme, but it's not quite as predatory as others. But it's like there used to be standards in national, because it's a national spot. And there used to be standards in advertising of like, you're going to at least make sure the people who are giving the testimonials seem remotely realistic. And that, they might actually be, you might look at this with them and go, oh, I bet that person really does use the service. But it's like, they have like five spots that they rotate, and every one, the person is like, has a different accent. It's in a different like setting. And it's always like, what's the app you're using there? Oh, it's this app. And it gives me $100 before payday, and I can do whatever I want with it. And it's usually, and then there's like some other weird story, like, don't you need to feed your children? No, but I need to go watch the game with my boys and drink beer. Sweet. It gives you $100. Who cares if your kids are starving and home alone? But at least you can get that extra $100 to go get fucked up with your friends. Yeah, I'm a poor decision maker. And then it's like the poor decision maker app. Life just got sweeter. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's 555-7227. 555-7227. That number again, homie. 555-7227.
Holy
the cool
Jesus.
Thing is, there's actual literal advertising that happens right now that you think to yourself, wait a minute, is there going to be like a pause and they're going to say, live from New York, it's Saturday
exactly.
night.
Exactly.
No, this is actually an entity
And I know they're like, it's targeted towards 18, 24 or so. You know, in that general age range, we don't make great choices, a lot of folks. But at least, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, people are obviously responding and going, hey, this is awesome. And they're not seeing like the ads going, what the fuck are these people thinking?
You do remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking to you about seeing that infomercial regarding safes, you know, safes like you put your guns in and money, and
okay,
whatever you stole from a bank. Safes looking too much like safes.
Okay. Okay.
Literally the infomercial, honey. Oh, or there's a voice. Are you tired of having to hide your safe? Don't you wish you could have it open in the living room or blend in amidst your house?
No.
Well, now with cut. So basically painting the picture that it's such a burden that we have to put the safe in. Oh, I got to take up room in my closet. I can't have my 42 pair of shoes. So basically it's customized cases for your safe. So basically, your safe can be built into your entertainment center. Your safe can be your new coffee table. The armoire. Oh, no, that's not an armoire. It's your safe. People are paying money. Sheila, wait, that's right. Our plasma. It's not our TV. It's our safe. So people are actually paying money to not only get a safe, but to paying X amount more to make it look like a pot that they have their plants in or their flowers. Or it is truly mind-boggling. I mean, I can't even. Is there anything that you actually called just out of curiosity to see if it was an actual number? I mean, I mean
they're real.
The Home Shopping Network. I think it was those lights that you tap. You can put them under the cabinets.
Oh, the
kitchen.
Tap lights. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thank you. I think that may or may not have been one of the more random. It just caught my curiosity, so I called and ordered. But current day, man, you got to be on a lot of stuff to. Give a ring.
Everyone just thought your golden retriever sitting on the couch was just lazy. It turns out he's really a safe.
Tap What's his the combination, Sparky? That's right.
Tap his paw in the correct order, and his head pops off, and there's your money. 855.
For four payments of $79.99.
855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to another story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Maria, and I'm calling from New Mexico. I'm calling to share a story that happened when I was about 9 years old. I'll change some of the names just for privacy's sake. Anyway, my grandpa, Art Garcia, died of bone cancer in 1992. He'd been sick for a really long time before getting the diagnosis, and we didn't know what was wrong with him. He'd been seeing this one doctor, Dr. Graham, who kept telling him that he needed to go home and exercise and strengthen his bones. And he took that advice, but he kept breaking more and more bones. And so my mom, his daughter, said, we need to get a second opinion. Something's not right. And found another doctor, Dr. Buchanan, who ran a bunch of tests and found out that my grandpa did actually have bone cancer. And he said, not only should you have not have been doing exercises, but you should have been at home on bed rest because your bones are so thin, they're basically like Swiss cheese at this point. So my grandpa was confined to bed and, like I said, died in April of 1992. And so my mom and her brother were really upset about the misdiagnosis by Dr. Graham, and they even thought about filing a medical malpractice lawsuit, but eventually just let it go. And it was a year or two after my grandpa passed away, so about 93 or 94, my dad picked up the newspaper one morning, and on the front page of the local newspaper, it said, local doctor dies in rock climbing accident. And so we read the story, and it turns out that Dr. Graham, the one that had failed to make the bone cancer diagnosis on my grandpa, had been rock climbing in Central America and fell off a cliff and died. And so my mom pointed out, she said, this is Dr. Graham, the one that failed to make the bone cancer diagnosis on grandpa. So that was pretty much it. We didn't think much about it after that. Couple days later, I was in my mom's bedroom hanging out while she was working on her computer, and I was watching TV, and the phone rang, and they had a caller ID, and the caller ID just said out of area. And so I answered the phone. I said, hello. And on the other end, I just heard a lot of static. And then finally I heard a voice come on the phone that said, this is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. And I responded, yes. And at this point, my grandpa, Arthur Garcia, had been passed away for, you know, more than 2 years at this point. And the voice just repeated, this is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. And no matter what I asked or how I responded, he just kept repeating over and over in this very moaning, sort of troubled voice with a lot of static in the background. This is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. This is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. And finally, my mom could tell that something was wrong by the look on my face. And so she grabbed the phone away from me and said, hello. And same thing, he just kept repeating, this is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. This is the doctor for Arthur Garcia. And she looked at me, and I think we both knew, you know, when we were looking at each other that, you know, that we noticed the coincidence, the doctor that had failed to make the diagnosis of my grandpa just We just learned that he died 2 days before, and now we're getting this phone call. And so she finally asked, "What do you want?" And he just said, "I'm sorry." And the phone went dead. So that's my story. It's probably the thing that got me most interested in ghost stories. I've been very interested, for all these years now, almost 30 years. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you choose to use it on a future podcast. I really enjoy your show. Thanks, Tony.
Almost bye. Guilt coming back and wanting to kind of make amends for the misdiagnosis.
Holy shit! I'm not going to lie to you. In all of the stories and the letters and the calls, there's been some interesting, unique, morbid tales.
Sure.
Listening to her describe that, mm-hmm. I had goosebumps on the back of my neck, not the good kind. Like when you're, holy shit, man, that is, wow, that caught me.
He's there?
I thought I was just a consumer. I was listening to the show, and then I realized, oh shit, I'm a part of it.
Yeah, he's there, and he was given that message.
Wow.
And he stayed consistent until somebody asked, "What do you want?" And then he just wanted to say he was sorry.
That is, wow, that's a script you put together for a motion picture.
It is. I mean, it's an interesting closure story, and one that definitely, I'm going to remember that one. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the show today. That is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Don't miss our next EPP bonus episode this tomorrow. You'll hear the preview of it. It's a good one. Tales of being cursed. In fact, it goes to a very long, interesting story of a family in Mexico and a curse that was brought on from one mother to another and then accidentally taken up by the son. Don't miss the preview tomorrow. And if you're not an EPP, hear the full thing at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.